The 2024 NFL Draft heads to Detroit, and it's time to see who gets the job.
Caleb is a unique and special talent throwing the football.
And what sets them apart.
The Heisman Trophy winner is Jaden Daniels.
All of the greats were hired here.
What a throw by Mahomes.
See who gets the job.
Are you ready?
The 2024 NFL Draft begins Thursday, April 25th on ESPN, ABC, and NFL Network.
He is Jalen Rose. I'm David Jacoby. What we are hell? Jalen and Jacoby. What is it that we do?
We give the people what they want.
Jalen's excited. It is Friday. It is also Irving Magic Johnson's birthday. We will celebrate him. We will also celebrate Devin Booker and the Suns going undefeated in the bubble. But we start with Turner Sports and Bleacher Reports on live from the bubble. It is Taylor Rooks. Thank you so much for joining us on the show, Taylor. Appreciate you.
Thank you. I love this energy. Anytime somebody says live from the bubble, I'm like, that is going to be the name of my mixtape when this is all over. So live from the bubble, baby.
It feels like Dame Lillard is making a mixtape of his own with all of his highlights. And last night was no different when he beat the Nets with 42 points. What do you think about what Dame did last night and what he's done in Orlando?
I mean, it's crazy. The numbers that he's putting up, what, 51 points, 61 points, 42 points. I'm asking myself, like, have we seen a greater or more clutch regular season performance ever? You know, it's really been insane to watch him. He is so impressive. We talk about somebody that can be a bubble MVP. I always was like, okay, it could be Devin Booker, right? Because he also has just been outstanding. But Dame got the job done. He got his team into the playoffs. He was just a major leader on the floor, had huge defensive stops, putting up the ball from half court, doing it so effortlessly. I mean, I just think it's amazing that we have been able to watch this level of play from Dame. But I will say, I don't know if you can talk about last night's game without also discussing Caris LeVert, but Damian Lillard has just been, I mean, fantastic. Look at those numbers. I mean, like, what are we doing here? That's, give it to that man. It's crazy.
It's absolutely wild. And then looking forward, I have them beating the Grizzlies. That's going to be easy. That's light work for them. Do you think that they can give the Lakers a problem in the 1-8 matchup?
I do think that they could give them a problem, you know, and that was the thing. You know, I think a lot of people were going back and forth like, okay, do we want to see the Suns? Like, do we want the Nets to beat the Blazers so that we can see the Suns finish this magical run? But I do believe everyone realizes that Blazers-Lakers is just like a very good matchup. I mean, I can't wait to see if Dame is able to continue this success against what is probably the best team in the NBA right now. So it's just going to be great basketball.
I agree with you, but the Memphis Grizzlies seem to be the squad that kind of upset the favorites. Zion's not in the playoffs. Memphis doesn't have Jaren Jackson Jr., but they will be in the playoff game. Unlike Jacoby, do you give them any chance of beating the Blazers and them being the team to face the Lakers in the first round?
The chance I give them is solely Ja Morant, right? And you have to also be fair, like, it's such an unfortunate circumstance for them, right? Like, no Justice Winslow, no Jaren Jackson. Like, that really could have changed the game for them. Ja Morant, though, I honestly think the two most exciting to watch are Damian Lillard and Ja. I mean, Ja just plays with so much energy. Every single time he has the ball, you're crossing your fingers that he dunks. Like, he's just really, really great to watch and so much fun. I'm kind of on Jacoby's side and saying that the Blazers are going to get him, but I just want good basketball. What I hope in a perfect world is that the Grizzlies win that first game so that we just get more basketball and a second play-in game the next day.
Basketball has been so fun to watch. The play has been such a high level. My question for you is, what do you do with the rest of your time? Like, when you're not watching the games, what's happening at the lobby bar? What's happening at the pool? Like, what are you seeing around campus when you're not watching the games?
Yeah, I mean, sometimes, so we're in a separate, like, area from a lot of the players, but sometimes if you're walking on that common sidewalk, you'll see players fishing, you see them riding their bikes a lot. You also just see them, like, walking to go get food. I think everybody's favorite pastime here genuinely is eating. But the thing with the fishing and why I haven't gone is I'm like, listen, I heard that they put extra fish into the lake. So does this count if you catch one? I'm like, I don't want a participation trophy. But it's been really fun at, you know, practices. I play heads up with the guys. I've been doing my vlog. So I just think it's important. Like, this experience has been so layered. You know, you have things like racial injustice. You have the pandemic. But you also have guys enjoying basketball and enjoying their teammates. So I have tried to be very intentional in showing the different variety of experience and how it isn't just one thing. And everybody isn't experiencing this as a monolith. So to be able to get those fun moments, like what they do when they have downtime, but also how they're focusing on games and how they're handling everything else, I think it's important to shed light on all of those.
So since we're professional journalists and analysts, I'm going to look at a Woj tweet. And he basically says that the NBA is going to start allowing visitors. And you have a show called Take It There. How do you think the dynamics of the bubble are going to change when players are allowed to have their visitors come?
In all honesty, first of all, I'm like, I mean, do we get visitors? I mean, my loved ones. You know what I mean? I think there's a perfect boyfriend here, but no, I do think, obviously, things are going to change. But I think that it's good because so many players really do miss their families. They miss their wives, miss their girlfriends, miss their children. So in a lot of ways, it's going to be a boost, you know, to see that you are able to play for these people that you love so much is important. My thing, and I think everybody is probably wondering this, anytime you think about an influx of people coming into this bubble, right? And maybe not messing with the sanctity of the bubble, but there's this different protocol that has to be in place. You just want to make sure you're like, this has been so successful so far. There's no positive COVID cases. And so just making sure that that stays intact is what I think is on everybody's mind. But huge kudos to the NBA. The way that they have planned this and what they have put in place has just worked so well so far. So I have no doubt that they are accounting for all of that when we get these people in. But I know I love how Woj like basically worded the tweet, like, don't be bringing in this girl you've been talking to on Instagram. Okay. Like, we got games to play.
Well, before the players headed into the bubble, there's a lot of discussion about potentially playing basketball being a distraction against the fight against social injustice. What do you think about the way that the players and coaches have used this platform to fight for equality?
You know, every single day at some point it's brought up, right? Which I think is incredibly important. Even last night after the Blazers win, CJ McCollum is wearing a shirt that says Justice for Breonna Taylor, and Daniel Cameron, the Attorney General of Kentucky's phone number is on the back. Everybody is trying to use their platform to have some sort of call to action. You know, when I talked to Chris Paul and I said, look, I know you guys want change. I know you guys want awareness, but what will had to have happened by the end of this for you to say that that was successful? And he's like, for me, a lot of it is seeing the education around the league, because if we continue these conversations and this bubble ends and guys feel passionate about things like HBCUs or education reform or police reform or financial literacy, they then champion those causes post Orlando, right? Which can be really incredibly important. I also think there is something to be said about the fact that playing the games and continuing that conversation actually did propel the movements in some ways. I see both perspectives as like basketball can be a distraction and also it can't be. But I think it's fair to say, how often are we talking about LeBron giving up his press conference to discuss Breonna Taylor? You know, how often are we talking about the outfits that they wear that shed light on certain things? When everybody decided to kneel during the anthem in protest of racial injustice, we were talking about it for a week. You know, so there are things happening that are propelling these incredibly necessary conversations. This is such a historic moment, and they really are using it to talk about things that, in all honesty, are much more important than basketball.
Well said. And a couple of things that stand out to me was Doc Rivers talking about how long he was on the knee, and it reminded him how long the officer was on George Floyd's neck before he murdered him. And Donovan Mitchell coming to the press conference with the bulletproof vest. Is there something in particular that a player or a coach or something that has happened in the bubble that has caught your eye or ear, and or something that you want to see, as you mentioned, happen outside of the bubble once a champion is crowned?
Yeah, I mean, there's so many things, but you talk about Doc Rivers, and I was like, you know, Doc Rivers was wearing, you know, a hat that said vote, and a lot of the coaches wear these pins that say coaches, you know, for racial justice. And I said to him, like, what have you learned about coaching during a time like this? And he said, no, I've learned that I have always been extremely political, but I was never political enough. And I think the more that we continue to realize that, A, these things aren't even political, a lot of the times the difference between right and wrong, but also that these things are embedded into things that we do every day. So it isn't strange or abnormal to be talking about them, because if we want America to be this great place, it has to be this great place for every single human being. And it was cool that Doc Rivers realizes, like, I still have to do more as a coach. You know, when I talked to Russell Westbrook, he put a lot of emphasis on owners needing to do more. So it's just every single day, I feel like I am just very proud to be here. I think I'm proud of the players. I think Donovan Mitchell's bulletproof vest was a really nice statement to show, like, this is happening. This could be anybody. And I just think it's great that it's really on the forefront of everybody's mind.
Well, we saw the Nets play the Blazers last night. We did not see KD play basketball, but we did see KD play basketball in a Drake video from the Nike campus.
Yes.
And we saw Odell Beckham Jr. as well. You know, I know that you have a
relationship
with Odell. What did they say about the experience of filming that video?
Yeah, so I mean, it's great. So I was able to see the video early, and I was like, the internet is going to just explode when they see this video. It was so cool, taking over the Nike campus. And when I talked to Odell about it, he's like, you know, it took Drake a couple times to get my one-handed catch, right? He said, you know, he was like, every single time he was fully extended, and he was genuinely impressed that Drake was even able to do that, you know? So, but I mean, it's crazy. Like, to have Kevin Durant, Odell Beckham, Marshawn Lynch, Drewski, who is absolutely hilarious, to be able to take over the Nike campus, be on jet skis with Lil Durk. I mean, it's really a big Nike ad, if we're being real. But great song, and it was great. I loved the video. Drake is the GOAT.
Well, we can't let you get out of here without introducing you to one of our signature franchises, Soft Move or Boss Move.
Okay, I'm in.
Did you know that the Seattle Seahawks released a cornerback for not only sneaking a woman into the team hotel, but she was also dressed in disguise as one of the players? Do you feel like that's a soft move or a boss move?
Okay, I do. First, before I answer this, I want to preface this by saying every player, every person should be doing whatever they can to keep their teammates safe from COVID. Like, period. That is non-negotiable. Yeah.
But
the sneaking in, boss. The disguise, soft. I mean, like, what happened here? What? And I'm also like, I want to see what the disguise was. Like, was it baggy jeans and a hat? Like, what was the plan for the disguise? What was the execution? How'd you get caught? There's so many questions, but I mean, come on. And honestly, is it worth it?
Like, you know, she showed up. She did not know that she was going to be handed the disguise. She showed up and he was like, put this on. She's like, what? I got a whole outfit for this. I'm not putting this on.
No, exactly. Imagine that conversation. Like, this is going to happen, but you need to get dressed up like Russell Wilson. Like, what are you doing? You know? But I'm really, seriously, I would caution everybody to stop and say, is this interaction worth it? And I'm going to say no. It's just not. You're now cut from the team because of this. And, like, we need to keep everybody safe.
Taylor, thank you so much for joining us on the television show. Don't forget, we have exclusive content with Taylor Rooks of Turner Sports and Bleacher Report on our podcast. We'll be right back after this. Welcome back to Jalen and Jacoby. It is time for Jalen's favorite segment where he decides what we discuss.
Woo! Tang!
It's time.
Woo!
Keep it moving.
Tang!
If you want to discuss the topic, just say hit the brakes. If not, me or Meth Man jump in the minivan and keep it moving. And we start with something that's going to hurt your feelings. We have Tua news. Keep it moving or hit the brakes.
If it's going to hurt my feelings, that's my guy, but keep it moving.
We keep it moving. We keep it moving.
someone who is very close and special to both of us, Irvin
Hit the brakes.
Magic Johnson's birthday. It is Irvin Magic Johnson's 61st birthday. Jalen, what does Irvin mean to you?
One of the coldest nicknames that I've ever come up with is the Hall of Fame Mogul, to describe the only 6'9 point guard in the history of the league to happen to run Showtime and win 5 championships and inspire so many, not only on the floor, but off the floor as an entrepreneur, as a leader, as somebody that continues to embody the NBA brand on and off the floor as one of the best to ever do it. And for him to be my childhood idol, Jacoby, and for him to know my name, my life is complete.
I know. And I've spent very little time around him, but when you are in his presence, he makes you feel so special. He makes you think that he actually cares about you. He makes you feel appreciated and loved. It's just amazing being in his presence. I can't even describe it, but he's a very, very special person. And that is not just because of what he did on the basketball court.
Love you, Happy legend.
Birthday. Happy birthday. Moving on. Syracuse football has an interesting update. Keep him over and hit the brakes.
You know what? Hit the brakes.
Some Syracuse football players are opting out of practicing because of the coronavirus. What do you think this means for football in the fall?
I want people to understand that athletes are an essential workers, and there will be some that are willing to take the chance. There are going to be many that are not willing to take the chance, especially when collegiate football has not acknowledged what they would do if some lingering effects happen due to the coronavirus. How's that going to affect insurance? How's that going to affect the athletes currently and in the future? So there are a lot of questions that need to get answered. I know that the players sent out the tweets and the post to say, we want to play, but I paid attention to the fine print. They were asking for a lot more things as well. Let's see if that can happen.
Jalen, something that we knew was going to happen finally happened with the Chicago Bulls.
Keep hit the brakes.
Jim Boylan was finally fired, and you are such a nice guy. You're a great guy, Jalen. Every time we talk about him, you say, I don't want anyone to lose their jobs. Well, guess what? I wanted Jim Boylan to lose his job. I'm not going to lie. I straight up did want this to happen. I can't even lie. I can't even look in this camera and lie to you. I really did want this to happen. I think this is a great thing for the Bulls, and I'm not going to be shy about it. Your thoughts on Jim Boylan losing his job?
Well, you know Zach LaVine, one of my guys, and anytime you can't see eye to eye with a guy that put in the kind of work he put in this year versus Charlotte, then I don't know what to say to you. So hopefully they get somebody that's going to have the pulse of their roster, because they've done a terrific job of making changes to their front office. Now let's see if they can now build around their young talent. Carter is a young talent. Markkanen, Kobe White. They have a lot of young players that could turn into something special.
Hold up. Did you just call him Kobe White? You need to fix that. It's Jacoby White moving forward. Remember that. Jacoby White. Moving on. LeBron James and the Los Angeles Dodgers have done something.
Hit the brakes.
LeBron James and the Dodgers teamed up to make Dodger Stadium in my old neighborhood a polling site for the November general election. What do you think this means?
More than a vote is having an impact. And you would have thought that professional sports teams would have allowed their facilities for voting in the past.
Yes.
That has not been the case. So to see the Detroit Pistons, the Atlanta Hawks, the Dodgers, that are allowing their fans and people in their community to come to their facility to vote is going to be a game changer in November.
If only we could say the same for the Postal Service. Moving on. Mookie Betts,
what you did there,
did something amazing yesterday. Keep moving or hit the brakes.
That's my favorite baseball player, so let's just hit the brakes just because.
He hit 3 home runs in just 5 innings. Again, not 1, not 2. 3 home runs in 5 innings for Mookie Betts. And you know the front office of the Boston Red Sox are watching this saying, man, we should have just paid that guy.
See, you a die easy Red Sox fan. It got to hurt your heart. It got to hurt your heart. It got to hurt your heart. because he was that deal playing with your squad and they just didn't want to give him his bread. Now you got to watch him ball for another squad. Like, I got to watch Tua play for the Dolphins, and you're not going to like it at all.
No, I'm not. Moving on, we have a huge fight tomorrow night in the heavyweight division of the UFC. Keep moving or hit the brakes.
A trilogy. I'm going to order it. Big shout, but yep. Keep it moving for now.
Oh, okay. We'll keep it moving on that.
We keep it moving. We keep it moving.
We have another trilogy. Three headlining rappers have announced new albums coming out. Keep it moving. Hit the brakes.
Brakes.
Not just Drake announcing a new album, not just DJ Khaled announcing a new album, but also Nasir Jones, better known as Nas, is dropping a new album as well. How excited are you for this trilogy of albums coming out?
Did you say Nasir Jones' name?
I did. I said Nasir
Peace Jones. To Half Moon Caesars?
Yes.
Nas? One of the greatest to ever do it? Oh my goodness. Shout out to DJ Khaled. I seen that he got Jada Kiss. Top 5 DO8 is going to write some verses for him. Shout to Drake. We talked to Taylor about this. Having a couple of athletes in the video. Marshawn Lynch, mm-hmm. Kevin Durant, Odell Beckham Jr. I'm excited. I got some tunes to listen to as the NBA play-in game happens on Saturday and the playoffs kick in on Monday.
I am so excited for next week. And not just that. I am so excited to celebrate what the Phoenix Suns did in the bubble. And we will do that right after this. Stay tuned. You're watching Jalen and Jacoby. Welcome back to Jalen and Jacoby. Jalen, we will not see the Suns play in the play-in game this weekend, but I do want to acknowledge what they did in the bubble going 8-0. Quickly, what do you think about the Suns?
Perfect example of why I hate people not paying attention to the entire 82-game schedule, and I'll never be a fan of load management because you never get stories like this. We wouldn't have been paying attention to the Suns overall if they weren't in the bubble, but they forced everybody to watch. They have some promise going forward.
It's time for the Don't Get Fired topic of the day.
And now, the Don't Get Fired topic of the day.
Jalen, there are reports that men are drinking breast milk to gain strength. What are your thoughts?
I've been doing it since I've turned 15. For real, like, I know most people do it when they're young, but I'm the youngest of four, so my mother wasn't breastfeeding me. But when I first went to a strip club when I was 15 and I got showered, I was Lou Will. They should have put me on the menu.
We don't get canceled over the weekend. We'll be back on Monday. Dan Le Batard and Highly Questionable are next.
I love milk. Does a body good.
We always say we give the people what they want, and we have the honor, the pleasure to have Taylor Rooks with us today. So we're going to do some podcast exclusive content with her. Now, Taylor, this isn't the television show, okay? So the executives don't watch this. This is where we get the real real, all right? This is where we get the real real.
This is where we go deeper into the box score.
I have so many questions for you. So many questions for you. But I'll start with this. What's the food like? Because we care about food a lot. And there were some complaints early on. What's the food like?
So I, too, care about food a lot. I love food. Biggest thing I miss is good sushi, but I mean it when I say the food is not bad. I think that in the beginning, with all things bubble, the cool thing was to be like, bubble sucks, food so bad, look at this. But now I think everyone's like, all right, this is actually a pretty dope experience. I have food favorites. I love the little fried chicken fritters. I love the scallop potatoes. The chicken parm is amazing. The turkey burger is good. Like, I definitely have my favorites. They even had chicken tikka masala and it was bomb. So I'm really being serious when I say I like the food. Because I'm good.
So Taylor,
I will tell you if the food isn't good. It's good.
Absolutely. So players being in a bubble, so it's over 300 NBA players and coaches. For me, it sounds like an all-boys school. And then all of a sudden, you prop in ladies that work in the media, people that work for the hotel. Like, how have you been able to move just as an adult in an environment like that, being quarantined and everybody just trying to do what they can to get to an NBA champion?
Yeah, I mean, I spend so much time like FaceTiming my friends. You know, I spend so much time like doing whatever I can to feel like I'm not having to see the same people every day, all the time. Mm. And it's also cool because so many of the media members, we have people here that we're friends with, you know, so there'll be times I'll be able to eat lunch in a common area with Victor Oladipo or, you know, things like that. Like you can still hang out people who are your friends. And I think a lot of media members are kind of becoming closer through this time too, because we're the only ones that we can really be with for extended amounts of time. But yeah, I mean, I miss, you know, I have my lover that I miss very much back home. So I spent a lot of time FaceTiming him, and I was being like, it kind of sucks to be so far from people, because it's one thing to be in like a long distance relationship. It's another for you to literally not be able to see the person. So I just think everybody is trying to get used to that. You can't say, all right, I miss you, but I'll be on a plane next weekend. It's like, I miss you and I'll right. see you in 3 months.
How does he handle the fact that NBA players try to holler all the time?
You know, honestly, and I mean this, like I truly do, like regardless of where you were, if you're a woman, people are trying to talk to you all the time. And I think that's a mm-hmm. thing that every boyfriend, right, has to deal with. So much of it is like, I think there's this idea, I mean, from the general public and like Twitter, not like you guys, but there's this idea that like, women just get so weak around the NBA players that they can't help themselves. It's like, we not think about y'all. You know what I mean? Like, y'all are cool, but it's not like, you know, like if you
Preach.
Ask Twitter, it's like,
Preach.
And I think there's so many conversations to be had about the fact that anytime any of us do an interview, specifically the black female journalists who are speaking to black players, anytime we do an interview, it's like, ooh, y'all are cute. Are y'all dating? Are they flirting? It's like, no, we're doing our job. You know, why is somebody like Chris Haynes allowed to be friends with Damian Lillard and nobody think twice about it? That we can't have any type of interaction with somebody without somebody saying something ridiculous or talking about what we have on, even if we're wearing a turtleneck and slacks. You know, I just think that's crazy, but it's a conversation that me and him have all the time. And I think that it's probably not easy to be with somebody who is a sports journalist in this space, but a lot of it is just like, you know, the person that you're with, you know. But yeah, there's not, the NBA players are not some kryptonite that every woman is just like, wow, how can I do this? That is like the biggest misconception, I feel like.
I'm pretty sure he knows what people like us within the industry know, that you always handle yourself with professionalism and class. But somebody left the bubble, and some people question if they were professional, not me. And that was Lou Will. I love Magic City. I love lemon pepper wings. I'm jealous that I don't have anything on the menu. So I've spent a lot of money there. And I got to hit up Magic Sun. I got to hit somebody up. So what has been the Lou Will aura effect at the bubble since he returned? Because I know that one exists.
No, yeah, it's definitely lemon pepper wings, flat, wet. That's my order.
That's only. But, that's only.
Yeah.
That's only.
Yeah, you have to do all flats only. But this is my thing with the Lou, and then I'll answer the question. I really do feel like this was a bit of a cultural thing that everyone wasn't on the same page with. I am from the suburbs of Atlanta. Everybody who is from the suburbs of Atlanta has been to Magic City. It's not some scandalous thing. And more than that, people in Atlanta legit go to Magic City for the food. Like, there's a separation between the two. Like, during COVID, yes. The actual strip club shut down, but the restaurant was open. Like, it's true. There are business people that sometimes go to Magic City for their business lunch or dinner. Like, that place isn't viewed the way that I think people think a strip club is. Like, it's not, I don't think it's really some huge scandalous thing down there. But when this came out, everyone's like, how dare he go to the strip club? When really anyone who knows Lou Williams knows he goes there every day. It's literally his favorite restaurant. Uh-huh. Like, that's why he has the thing on the menu named after him, the wings, the Lou Will wings. So I thought that was important. I'm not saying he shouldn't have gone. I'm just saying that it was mischaracterized what Magic City was to Lou and what it is to Atlanta. But it's crazy how quickly people have moved on, right? I don't think that it's even a thing that's being discussed too much here. One thing that I will credit Lou for is he is going to have like a press conference or a Zoom interview set up, and it's for Black members of the media. And he feels like it's important if we're talking about, you know, everybody pushing forward Black people and the progression and advancement of Black people, that like he does his part. And he's like, I want this to be only for Black members of the media talking about these specific things. So credit to Lou. No more strip clubs, but most importantly, no more posting the picture of when you're in the strip club. And definitely not saying that the picture was taken early when you're wearing the mask that you got in the bubble. Like, it's like, there's...
Come on, Jack Harlow. We don't believe you, Jack Harlow.
Oh, no.
Come on, Jack. So I want to let you know that Jalen and I may have been not...
What's Jalen and I...
We may or may not have met at an Atlanta strip club, Jalen and I. An Atlanta strip club may or may not be the genesis of this show. And I also want to say this is, what? People, you are right. In Atlanta, people go to strip clubs.
I'm just saying.
People play pool. People get wings. People watch games. Like, it is not like strip clubs in other cities. This is it's a regional difference in Atlanta specifically. A strip club is essentially a restaurant that it's not just like it is in other cities where people go there for other reasons. Like, I see people playing pool, not even paying attention to the dancers at all every time I'm in Atlanta.
Exactly. Wait, hold on. We gotta rewind. What strip club did y'all meet at?
Strokers.
Oh, I'll go there. Strokers. And by the way, Taylor, I don't know if you realize this or not, but my kids live in Alpharetta. So I've had a place there for almost 20 years. Okay. I've had a place at Atlantic Station when it first popped off, all of that. And so I know what day it is where you go. So I know on Sunday you're going to Pink Pony. On Monday you're going to Magic. Back in the day, on Tuesday you're going to Onyx. I know. Okay. I definitely know. But you alluded to something, and please make sure I'm a part of that call with Lou Will, the cultural aspect of this. Because there are three things that got criminalized that we enjoy that mainstream America have overrated. Number one, the strip club, because they enjoy them too. Number two, marijuana. People try to act like soon somebody smoke, like, oh my God, he had the nerve to do that. When everybody does it too. And so those are a couple of things that I saw for public consumption that people were like overreacting, but it wasn't really a big deal. But the third thing, now that Cardi B, I want to talk to you about her for a second. She lost the OnlyFans page. Do you know anything about that?
I didn't know. You said she lost an OnlyFans page or she made
it? Yeah, Cardi B, she made lost the OnlyFans page. I'm not up on that. I'm old and washed up. So you might could give us some game of what that is.
Now, I, from my understanding, and I don't know a lot about OnlyFans, but from my understanding, it's when people can pay you for like exclusive content. I think that people use it for a myriad of different reasons. Some women use it, I think, if you pay, they can give you a little more like sexy photos, maybe a little risque photos, but you're only getting that because you're paying, and it's a way for, I think, some women to make more money, right? So I think that's pretty cool that Cardi would do it. I mean, because Cardi is she's a public figure. I think she is very vocal about the fact that women have the choice to do whatever it is they want with their body, and more power to her. I would not have an OnlyFans page. That's just not my thing. But kudos to women that are figuring out like ways to, you know, make it happen.
During the quarantine, it's hard. Now, let's get back to the actual basketball, because we all experience the games from watching on television, and the television presentation is not that different than it is traditionally. Like, I don't really miss the fans that much. I kind of like the way the games look, and obviously the games themselves, the high level of basketball that's being played is so entertaining. What's it like actually being in the building during one of these games? How is it different?
You know, I'm going to say, and I probably shouldn't, if I don't love it equally, I might love a little more. Like, I really love this experience of being able to hear and see so much. But like, listen, that's from an incredibly selfish media point of view, right? Like, I'm like, this bubble book is about to be fire, because I feel like I've heard and saw so many things, right? And the play itself feels the exact same. Like, do you guys feel any drop off in like what it feels like to watch? Because I feel
no.
Here's what I've noticed. So in basketball, unlike tennis and golf, you need to be quiet when the performers are doing their thing. So imagine when somebody gets hot and we say playing reg ball, they're shooting like they're in an empty gym. Well, that's actually what's happening. You got the best basketball players showing up at work without 20,000 people distracting them. So now all of a sudden, if I'm opening the corner for a three, it ain't 10,000 people yelling at me. It's me in the hoop.
For sure.
And so I think that also helped the quality of play.
Well, I hope that there is some like social scientist or someone way smarter than me doing some type of like causation experience and some type of correlation experiment, because I wonder how free throws are affected with this, right? I also wish Ben Simmons was still in the bubble, because I wonder if he would shoot more threes, because there's not being people there. You know, I think so much of why he hesitated was because reaction and pressure. Like, how would we have maybe seen that change, because the environment was different? I think there's a lot of it. How does crowd factor into being clutch or not? Like, this is the one place that could literally serve for so many case studies, because it's such a controlled environment. And I hope there's somebody like tracking that type of thing in a way that is a data that we can actually use and look at and say, okay, this is what fans help with, this is what they hurt with. Do we make way too much of something like home court advantage? You know, like, I think it would be really cool to examine those different things.
First of all, that is way too articulate and intellectual of a conversation for Jalen Jacoby. I mean, you said causation and correlation. Like, I had to Google those words while you were talking so I could catch up. Man, I just want to say thank you so much for coming.
She's
on the
a
show,
professional,
Taylor.
Jacoby, unlike us.
Welcome back anytime. Anytime you want to come back. You can catch Taylor on all social media and on TNT and all over Bleacher Report anytime. Thank you so much.
Yes, thank you. I would love to come back. I also cannot go off of this without letting listeners know that I'm kind of beefing with Jacoby, because you saw me in a bar in New York and did not say hello. But next time, everything opens.
You're a big star. You're a big star, Taylor.
Now that's a soft move, David.
I had so much fun.
Thank you. We'll see you soon as the playoffs progress. Thanks a lot.